Go on.
I believe this may mean simply redoubt. The digits may relate to some master code. The sequence of numbers at the end is, I believe, linked to the control panel that we have seen by every doorway.
Christie pointed to the scribbled writing.
And that tells you where the redoubt is.
Since this is the very nub of the business, I'm disappointed to say that only about 3 or 4 are even minimally legible.
L-A-S-W. What's that mean, Doc?
Guess it's Southwest Los Angeles, Dean, isn't it?
That was also my supposition. This one is a shorthand for Northern Missouri, close to the Iowa state line.
The one in Los Angeles is a last train venture. That part of California was one of the first places to go at Skydark. Slid under the Pacific Ocean. Parts of Missouri and Mississippi got swallowed up by the Big Muddy changing course.
The third one I can make out seems to have been in Alaska. It could be the one we passed by when we encountered that Zimyanyan fellow you spoke of the other day, Ryan. And this other one, number 5.
S.N. Max. N.R. Tex.
Mildred looked at the others with dawning recognition.
One of the first places I jumped to, southern New Mexico, not far from the border with what used to be Texas, and that...
That's not far from the Ballinger spread, where Jack Lorne and Christina are living. Where, well, they were living anyway.
Only problem is that redoubt blew up, took the whole mountain with it.
Ryan had remembered that even before J.B. spoke. The place had been booby-trapped with all sorts of self-destruct devices that they triggered trying to escape. The resultant explosion had come close to wasting them all, and had blown away the whole of one flank of the hillside.
Not the whole mountain. We were stuck because that sector dropped and cut us off from the gateway. It was way, way deep and on the farther side of the complex. There's a good chance it's still secure down there.
Christie was standing by the mirror, brushing her long hair.
One thing we've never found out, lover, is what happens when you jump into a gateway that no longer exists. One that's 1,000 feet under the sea or pulped beneath trillions of tons of dirt. This could be the time we find out.
Dean had picked up on what they were discussing.
You going to take me to this Jack Lauren man?
Maybe, son. It's a question of safety.
So why don't we all go?
It was a good question. For several long heartbeats, nobody answered the young boy.
Trader used to say that there were some things that a person couldn't always just ride around.
But I can stay and fight!
Ryan realized that his son was on the edge of tears.
Don't send me away!
I'm not sending you away.
Ryan knelt by Dean and put his arm gently on his shoulder.
I'm taking you to see if Jack can have you for a few days. No longer. If there's a problem there, we both come back here. It's not that I don't care, son. It's that I do care about you. Understand?
Suppose so.
As soon as we've kicked Traven's skinny ass, we'll all be down to see you.
Promise, Mildred?
Doc laid his gnarled hand across the center of the boy's tiny chest.
Regardless of what this raggle-taggle parcel of sturdy rogues might claim, Dean, you have the sworn oath of Dr. Theophilus Tanner that we shall see you again very soon.
What an old jerk-off you are, Doc.
Ryan passed on to Doc the news that Skye might well be calling on him later that night, after the posse had been to what she referred to as dark snaking.
That means Dean and I have to get away before midnight. Don't want her creeping around and watching us break for it.
Surely. But what will we tell the Sectmen or Boss Larry?
Part truth. Me and the boy went for a late walk and didn't come back. With any luck, they'll suss the Cajuns. That'll be my story if I make the return jump safely.
Ryan had already discussed with Christie what they should all do if he wasn't back in 72 hours.
Chill anyone you have to and get out. If I can get hold of a communication device, I'll try and contact you sometime on the radio. 100 band.
They'd sent Dean outside for a while so that they could enjoy a brief moment together. Christie had been quiet and introspective.
You know why, Ryan. Being away from you is like losing a part of myself. And I'm scared.
Scared of what?
Uncle Tyus McCann told me an old saying. Said it was Latin.
Where's that?
More than 2,000 years ago in Europe. Ruled most of what they knew as the world back then. Want to know this saying, lover?
Yeah.
Ryan was lying on the bed beside her, running his hand gently over her thighs.
He said, Timor mortis contrubat me. Know what it means?
Tell me.
It means that the fear of death moves within me, lover.
Ryan and Dean left the Ville a couple of hours before midnight. There had been a brief rain shower while they were eating supper. Now the night was filled with a heavy scent of vegetation, and water still dripped off the jagged edges of leaves. Beneath their boots, the ground was moist and clinging. To the east, against the concrete desolation of what had once been Miami, the sky showed the remains of a violent chem storm. Streaks of purple and pink lightning tore open the banks of low cloud, and the faint rumbling of thunder was discernible. Ryan and Dean crouched together in the lake of black shadows outside their motel.
You sure you can get back, Dad?
Sure. Mildred tumbled to the bit on the bottom of the scrap of paper, the letters L and D. Just press those for the last destination. A shrewd guess.
But how do you know that's what it means? What if she's wrong?
Ryan managed to sound 100% confident. In fact, there had been a long argument about whether the letters were indeed an L and a D. Most of them were agreed on the first letter being an L, but the D was the subject of much more discussion. Christy had held the paper sideways to the light and announced that she thought it looked much more like a P.
What if the place is demolished, like JB said it might be?
If it is, then the gateway won't function and we stay where we are. If we get to it and there's a problem, then there's a 30-minute automatic reset on all the Matrans units. So we'd finish back here in the Ville a half hour after we made the jump. No problem, son.
Yeah, but...
You got any more questions? Well, let's have them now, Dean.
Just... Will Jack Lauren like me, Dad?
He's only about 15. Maybe 16 by now. Never had anything you could call a childhood. He's a lot like you, son.
I'm finished with the questions, Dad.
Then we can go.
They hid among some ornamental orchids as the sec patrol passed them. Ryan thought he caught a mention of Kelly's name, but he couldn't hear what was being said about him. They didn't see anyone else before reaching the cutoff into the impenetrable depths of the positronic jungle. The temperature was way into the high 70s, despite the lateness of the evening, and Ryan was aware of sweat trickling down into the small of his back. The moon reluctantly eased its way through a rift in the low clouds, helping father and son to pick their way toward the long-lost redoubt. Ryan was relieved to have the light, aware of the pits of sucking mud that lay all around, waiting to drag at an unwary footstep. Something flew through the air from under Ryan's boots, landing with a splash in one of the gleaming pools. Dean was at Ryan's heels when he suddenly slipped, falling into a cluster of waxen flowers with long tendrils.
You all right, son?
God, fuck. Wet knees. I'm... Hey, the leaves are sort of grabbing at me.
Don't be a stoop. Get up.
It's holding me.
They were still only a few hundred yards away from the patrolled regions of the Ville. In the thick undergrowth, the moonlight was filtered and dissipated.
Fireblast, be quiet, boy.
But...
Ryan dropped to his knees and felt with his hands. Finding that Dean had fallen awkwardly, arms and legs spread. The bushes were mainly long vines, with tendrils thicker than a man's finger, strong and resilient. As Ryan touched his son, he had the sensation of the plants moving, coiling over Dean's leg, wrapping themselves around him.
Pull me up, Dad!
I said keep your voice down.
Ryan got his hands under his son's arms, bracing himself to lift.
Yeah.
As he heaved the boy up, he heard the clear sound of some of the vines snapping like whipcord, rustling around on the ground like a nest of young moccasin snakes.
You all right?
Guess so. Were they alive?
Now that they were both standing, it was easier to see. The boy's black denim jacket glistened with slimy green strings, some of them seeming to move and writhe. Ryan brushed them all off into the muddy earth.
Never come across muddy plants like that. Could have been real bad. Step careful and follow me close. I'll go out at point.
There were no further alarms, though Ryan started several times, reaching for his blaster, at sudden movements and sounds in the swamps.
Made it.
So far, so good.
Ryan opened the outer sec doors to the redoubt.
We staying here or going straight on to make the jump?
Straight on. Quicker we can try and get to Jack's place, the better. Don't like leaving everyone here to the sick mercies of Traven.
The entrance doors closed solidly behind them, and they moved fast through the various sections of the complex until they reached the tumbled steel door and the rotted frame that opened up to the gateway itself. The giant muty rat was fresh in Ryan's memory, and he carried his 6-hour drawn and ready. The passage was completely silent, the air still overwhelmingly moist, though it did seem a little fresher than a couple of days ago.